desire your prayers this morning as we look into the Word. The burden that I have on my heart this morning is entitled Fellowship with God, and we will not finish this morning. And there is, after fellowship with God, the Lord is interested in fellowship between His people. But we cannot have fellowship with people, really, in the Lord, unless we have a personal fellowship with God. And there are a number of scriptures that address this subject of what it means or what it takes to have fellowship with God. And my purpose and my desire this morning is to have fellowship with God. That was the reason, and Renee mentioned it with the children in Sunday school, but that is the reason God created us. He created us for the purpose of fellowship. See, sometimes if we are not careful, the devil will like to make us think that God created us to be servants. But remember that God already had the angels to do His bidding. He already had the angels to do what He wanted to do. So God was missing an element that He desired to have a connection with someone that chose to be connected with Him. Because fellowship is not just duty, is it? Think about relationships with people. Fellowship is not doing your duty to someone. Fellowship goes beyond being polite to someone, does it not? True fellowship. You know, you can be polite and you can even go do something for someone because, well, it's my duty. We can be at service this morning because it's our duty, but I'll tell you what. If you come just because it's your duty, and don't misunderstand, we do have duties as children of God. But if the only reason I am here because it's my duty, I'm going to miss the blessing that is found in being in the worship of the Lord. If we serve the Lord and obey what the Bible teaches us, if we get a mentality that, oh, I have to do this, and if I'm going to serve the Lord, oh, I can't do that, I sure wish I could, and I guess I won't, because, do you realize that's a miserable way to live? But if we will serve the Lord out because of fellowship, Lord, I live like this and I'm obeying You because I want to be connected with You. It's what brings the blessings in life. This is where the true joy of serving God comes from. It comes through fellowship with God. So let's begin over in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, we'll begin reading with verse 3. It said, "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us." Now, that's talking about the human fellowship. And we're going to get there another day. But here He said, we see you and we would that you have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Before we can address and have a body of people of common interest and common cause, we have to be connected to the source. True fellowship means there's a common interest, there's a oneness of experience. And here John was saying that our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And that is where, that's the beginning of fellowship is with God this morning. Fellowship, I want to give you some definitions. Fellowship is companionship. That's, if you have fellowship with someone, now, we're going to draw a little line here. We are going to address human fellowship another time. But sometimes we have to draw on our own experiences with each other to really understand fellowship with God. So fellowship is companionship. It's company. It's a community of interest or feeling or experience. In other words, a oneness. That's what fellowship comes from, a oneness. It's also communion. You know, that's contact. It's connection. That's how I see fellowship. It's connection. It's friendship. If you have fellowship with someone, again, it goes beyond duty. It goes beyond responsibility. It goes beyond politeness. It has to do with connection. It has to do with a common cause and a common purpose. Fellowship then would by definition not imply some cold, formal relationship. Fellowship is something very warm. Fellowship, by definition, is something very personable. And our desire, God created us that we would have fellowship with God. And if we allow our experience to become formalized, the list of do this and don't do that. Now, the New Testament has some commandments, does it not? But if all our focus, if the motivation is just, I have to and I can't, we will miss the blessings of fellowship with God. Fellowship is about warmth. It's about oneness. It's about connectivity. And he went on to say this in the fourth verse, and these things write we unto you that your joy might be full. Why do we want to have fellowship with God? You know, thinking about some of the children, what they said this morning. Yes, it is to keep us from going to hell. I mean, that's true. But do you realize in this life, if we have fellowship with God, John said, I'm writing these things unto you that your joy could be full. Y'all remember what the definition of joy is? To spin around. In other words, it's that which wells up inside that just makes you want to, well, I don't know if I should do it or not, that just makes you want to spin around. It's something inside, it's something deep that just, that's what rejoicing is. It's something that moves us. John said, I'm writing these things to you because I want your joy to be full. I want you to be able to spin around. In other words, I want you to be moved because of your connection with God. How's your fellowship with God this morning? Fellowship, to me, is a free flow. Think about your connection with people, okay? Is there someone that you know in your life that you have fellowship with? I hope there is. You know, when you truly have the fellowship that is meaningful, let me say it that way, meaningful fellowship. In other words, there are some unmeaningful fellowship. But when you have meaningful fellowship with someone, there is a free flow. Because you're one. You're connected. You have a common interest, common purpose, common cause. You're friendly. You enjoy being together. There's a commonality. Last night, Robert and Julie were at our house, and I hope they would feel the same way. But they were at our house, and we had worked together over the weekend, so there was work involved. But, you know, I found fellowship in that. It wasn't that everything was just real pleasant. Oh, wonderful. We get to go out in the bitter cold and rain. But you know, there was a common cause at the moment. And we were out there with a common purpose. And I actually enjoyed that. I wasn't very good at what I was trying to do. I was just squirreling a little bit. But do you know that there's a fellowship that comes with that? And then we were able to sit around last night. We were able to have worship together, pray together. We sat down and did a puzzle together last night. And sang and laughed and just had a good time. You know, we had fellowship. Friendly, it wasn't out of duty, it wasn't being polite, it was a common bond, friendship, common love for the Lord, plus family. You put those things together, you know what you have? You have fellowship. You take out some of those things out of the equation, you start getting a breach in the fellowship. The Lord wants us to have fellowship with Him that same way. He wants us just on a daily basis. You see, it's not just about coming to church on Sunday now. The Lord wants every single day, He wants to have fellowship with us. He wants us to be on friendly terms. It's like, oh no, here, what's God? You know, children, if they're doing misbehaving, and they say, here comes dad or mom, it's like, oh no, I'm going to cow down. Mom and dad, I'm going to get busted. The Lord doesn't want to have that kind of relationship with you. He wants this, Lord, I invite you into my day. When you get up in the morning and say, Lord, I want you to walk with me today. I want to have fellowship with you, Lord. I want to commune with you. I want to laugh with you and cry with you and walk with you. And I want to be on friendly terms. Folks, that's what the Lord created us for. He wants to have fellowship. And He wants your joy to be full. Fellowship brings true joy. There's a song, and I don't know, I wish I could sing it. I love this song. But I know a phrase of it. It says, it's real, it's real. Oh, I know it's real. An experience with God that brings joy comes from fellowship, and I will testify to you this morning, it's real. There are people that have some cold, formal religion. There are people, I know sometimes some of the saints have been accused about just living a traditional lifestyle, and they're just living in the past. But I want to say this morning, I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in living my life in a way that I can have meaningful fellowship with God that brings joy in my life every day. And it means during the trials, during the battles, during the temptations, that I have a relationship with God, that He's by my side, that we're walking together, and when I start to fall, He lifts me up. When I'm happy, He's there to encourage me and share my joy with me. Fellowship. A connection. Oneness. That our purpose is one with God. Lord, I want to please You, and I want to be Your friend, just like I want God to be my friend. Fellowship implies a likeness or similarity of nature or interest, doesn't it? You think about people that you... Now, personality-wise, let's just put this on the table. Personality-wise, sometimes you will find more connectivity with some people more than others. Just by nature of personality and interest and background and education. You will be able to connect better with some people than others. And that's life. That's okay. I will say this, that among God's people, we ought to allow our common interest in pleasing God to supersede the other connections that we have with other people of common interest in the world. We ought, when we say, well, I look around here this morning and look at where y'all come from and your background and say, you know what, I don't have a lot in common with you. Guess what? We ought to allow, I'm jumping the gun a little bit here, but Lord knows. We ought to allow our common purpose to please the Lord to rise above and supersede the other differences in our backgrounds, personalities, raisings, etc. Because we have fellowship with God. And when we have fellowship with God, then that ought to start to blend our hearts together. I don't want to breach there. But now, I don't want to breach in my fellowship with God. Let's read over in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians in the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 14. And let's read this now in light of fellowship with God. He said, be ye not, beginning with verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship? Now what connectivity? What oneness hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Doesn't that sound like fellowship? I'll be your God, and you'll be my people. And let's go on a little further. He said, wherefore, knowing that, come out from among them, come out from the darkness, come out from fellowshipping unbelievers, come out from fellowshipping the works of darkness. And he said, and be ye separate. Separate yourself, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Folks, the Lord is looking for fellowship this morning. But the Lord cannot fellowship unrighteousness. The Lord cannot fellowship uncleanness. It is one thing. There are a lot of people this morning that may come to church, and the churches are full today. Driving along some of these big mega churches. But do you know whether the church be big or small, God cannot fellowship unrighteousness. If I come to service and there is unrighteousness or iniquity or sin or uncleanness or immorality of any kind in my life, God cannot have fellowship with me like He desires. There's a breach in the fellowship. I may have a lot of things ordered like the Lord intends, but if there is one place in my life that I have breached what the Lord wants for me, that is a breach in the fellowship with God. And here He said, don't be unequally yoked together. I know that scripture is commonly used talking about marriage. Don't fellowship yourself with someone who doesn't have that common cause and common purpose for the Lord. But it goes beyond that. He's talking about that close, intimate relationship that we have with people. You see, we can work with people, can we not? We can be friends with the sinners. Jesus was. We work with them. We should be friends with them. We should, but there is a line that we have to be careful not to cross. When we begin to allow our spirits, you understand what I'm saying, to begin to blend with those that are workers of unrighteousness, how can I fellowship my spirit with that? And here He said, in other words, they're going to have an influence on you. And so that He's teaching us here, come out from that and be separate. Don't be in a close, intimate place or intimate relationships. And again, it supersedes, it just goes beyond marriage now. In your connectivity with people, if it's based on unrighteousness and darkness, how can we fellowship with God then? Because now I've all tied myself up with unrighteousness over here, and how can I have communion with the Lord? And so He said, come out from those things. Separate yourself from things that cause a breach in your fellowship with God. And be separate. And He said, and then, in essence, I'll receive you. I'll be your Father. You'll be my children, and we can have fellowship. Folks, there is a cost to having fellowship with God. There is a cost. But if you want the joy in fellowship, we will have to turn away from things that separate our fellowship with God. I know I testified about it briefly Wednesday, but you know that there are things in life, and this gets very personal because you know fellowship with God is not something I can give to you or you can give to me. This is very personal. But have you ever done something and you just felt that uncomfortable feeling and you just didn't feel that connectivity with the Lord when you were doing it? And you can make a case that it's not sin and that it's not wrong. And those arguments, why waste our time? You know what it comes down to? What does it do with your fellowship with God? When you do it, yeah, maybe it's not sin. Maybe you won't go to hell if you do it. I mean, we're really having to cut the letter. We're having to get down to the letter if we go that way. This is about fellowship with God. This shouldn't be about what I can get away with and still say I'm saved. This is about my connectivity with the Lord, because that's where the joy is. And so when you find things in your life and you don't need the preacher, sometimes the preacher will warn, and I know people get offended at the preacher, and that's part of the cross of the job, I'll just say it. But this morning, it goes beyond what's said from behind the pulpit, whether it's me or any other minister. It comes down to your personal fellowship with God. When you do things, what is it doing to your fellowship with the Lord? When you go places, when you watch things, when you partake of things, our question should be, if I start feeling uncomfortable and it's probably not the best, how does it affect my connectivity with the Lord? Shouldn't that be our guidelines rather than, well, I think I can do it and still be saved? Isn't that the wrong approach sometimes to seeing what we should do and not do? I mean, practically, is this right? He said, come out and be separate. So there's a cost. Separate ourselves from sin, but in some of the gray areas that I know people, I believe they're saved, and they do things I couldn't do and keep my fellowship with God. So we have to be careful about judging, but at the same time, Do you know that the more we draw closer to the Lord, the closer fellowship we have, the more careful we're going to be in our life with the Lord? I don't want something to hinder that connectivity with you. That friendliness, the communion, the relationship. And this is why you've heard people preach or about forsaking the world. Doesn't the Bible tell us to do that? To leave the world and follow Jesus. And that kind of sounds like that old-time religion, doesn't it? Take the world that give me Jesus. You know, that's almost starting to get out of style a little bit. I'm not sure it was ever really in style, if you want to call it that. But it's not real popular. But do you know that's where the joy is? Because it's not that I'm leaving the world just to leave the world. It's I'm leaving the things that separate or affect my fellowship with God. And I'm saying, Lord, I would rather have fellowship with you than my connection with some of these things in the world. Folks, it still means this morning, if we want to have fellowship with God, we're going to have to take our hands off of the world, the sinful things of the world, and say, Lord, I choose you. Because I want to. I want to be connected to you. I want to feel your presence in a daily basis in my life. Scripture says in Ephesians 5:11, it says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather, somebody remember what it says? But rather reprove them. Now, that gets a little more difficult, Brother Cook. It says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. The things that you know God's blessings are not on, the Scripture's saying don't fellowship. Don't even get close. Separate yourself. I have had people that have been saved before, and I've had them sit in my car and tell me, they said, I'm going to do it my way. I had them tell me that. I'm going to do it my way. And I'm just going to take it just kind of as I see things and kind of as I... It doesn't work. If we want to have a strong spiritual walk with God, fellowship with God, we're going to have to say, Lord, I'm going to give everything up and I'm going to follow after you and I'm going to pursue you and put you first in my life. And I'm going to then go a step further and I'm going to reprove those things that have been a hindrance in my life. That's more than just being silent. Now that's more than neutrality. It's saying, you know what, that thing has been a hindrance to me spiritually. I'm going to reprove it, and I'm not going to go back there. I'm going to draw a line in my life, and I'm going to reprove that thing because I know how it affects me spiritually. Folks, I cannot draw all of those lines for you in your life. You know, you wouldn't respect them if I did anyway. Most likely, there'd be some of them. I know you wouldn't. This is between you and God. This is between me and God. Draw some lines in your life, folks. If you're not willing to draw some lines and reprove some things personally, saying, I know that affects me adversely, spiritually, and I don't really feel a lot of fellowship when I'm doing that, put a reproof against. You don't have to get up and tell everybody. You don't have to make a public pronouncement, but draw some lines in your life to maintain your connection with the Lord. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, 1 John 1:6, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Folks, fellowship with God. If we say we have fellowship with God and there is sin in our life, the Scripture says we're telling a lie. Do you know what lying is? Lying is a breach of morality. You tell a lie. Declaration of something that is not true. And he said, if we say we have connection with God and there is unrighteousness in our life, says we're liars and we're not walking in truth. We're not walking in light. Folks, it means something to have fellowship with God. It's meaningful, folks. True fellowship comes when we have left the world behind and we're cleaving unto the Lord. And if your eye offends you, pluck it out. You know what? If I came along and said, I'll start with my wife. Your eye offends you. Take it out. She said, wait, Michael, God gave you that eye. That's mine. You have the right
and the privilege to live your life like you want this morning. All of you. You have the right to live your life what you want. But the Lord desires to walk with you this morning.
The Lord desires to have fellowship. He wants your joy to be full. This isn't about, oh, you have to give up and oh, the cost. That's part of it, and that's why I'm telling you. But I'm telling you, the payback is worth it. Your joy, you can actually enjoy serving the Lord. This does not have to be a cross. Well, I don't want to go to hell, so. No, I enjoy serving the Lord this morning. I enjoy having fellowship with my God. And if my eye offend me, it's something maybe all of you do, but it affects my fellowship with God. The Lord says, Michael, you pluck out that in your life. Just pluck it out. And that means that I may come to service and look around, and here I have one eye, and I say, that's not fair. Isn't that how we start feeling? That's not fair. I had to stop. Dude, I had to pluck my eye. Y'all ought to be just like me. Say, no, this doesn't affect my fellowship. Now you want to start talking about spiritual maturity. It's time to grow up, folks. It's time to recognize that there are some things then that someone else may have both their eye, and I had to give it up because it affected me. My makeup, my temperament, my personality, my temptations might be different than yours. So the Lord may tell me, Michael, just pluck your eye out. It's a hindrance to you. Whereas then, you may come and say, oh, Brother Michael, you don't have to. It's okay to do that. It doesn't affect. It's all right. You don't know how it affects me. And on the same hand, it's time for us to recognize it's not right for me to come. Say, well, everybody else is doing it. You ever had your children tell you? Say, well, everybody's doing it. That always sends up the red flags right there. Everybody's doing it. I don't know. Maybe we ought to see if that's really the right thing to do. If we come and we say, well, everybody's doing it, so it must be okay. That's really not the question. The question is, how does it affect your fellowship with God? That means then have the maturity to pluck your own eye out if you need to. Say, well, I'm not going to do that, or I'm not going to go there, or I'll give that up because I know how it affects my relationship with the Lord. God desires to walk with you this morning. We need to be in a position to have fellowship with God. We're going to have to forsake our sin. We're going to have to leave. See, there's a place then in Hebrews 3:14, it says it this way. For we are made partakers of Christ. The righteousness is not of ourself this morning. There are no set of rules that can make you righteous this morning. Do you believe that? There is no set of rules that you can follow. Most of the things of good living and principles that the saints have held and followed for years, do you know that a lot of those things the carnal man can follow if they wanted to? Carnal man can dress modestly if they want. That's just an outward thing. But the carnal man can do that if he wants to. So that doesn't save us then. It can keep us from, if the Bible teaches modesty, so then we need to do that. But in and of itself, following that rule does not make us righteous, does it? It comes down to motivation then, and then submission and obedience. But the point I'm making here is that we need the righteousness of God in our life. The same nature. You know, there's a connectivity amongst family that it's difficult to find somewhere else. I can talk to my brother, sister, my mom and dad, or something to be said, and we can know what the other person meant. We can know what they were thinking. You know, you can say something, it's like, oh, I know what they're saying. Because there's a oneness. There's a commonality there. Do you know that's what the Lord wants to have? And how can we have that with God unless we have some of God Himself in us? And this is the reason it is important, folks, for us to have a born-again experience. We cannot have fellowship with God unless we have been born again. A spiritual birth. It's more than turning over a new leaf. It's more than saying, I'm going to try to make changes in my life. It is about coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, there's things in my life that aren't right. I need a transformation. And the Lord can come in and divinely impart His nature in us. Divinely give Him us of some of Himself, that now it's the righteousness of God. Now I have fellowship with God. because I've been a partaker of Christ, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Folks, there's a bond with God when we have been born again, born of His Spirit. Without it, we can't have fellowship. We can have a form of godliness. We can come to church. We can be good people. We can testify to being saved. But all the time, there's something missing. It's kind of a Sunday experience or just something that, you know, I'm not turning my back on God, but there's not a lot of joy there. How's your connectivity with God this morning? We'll wrap this up now. But how's your connectivity with the Lord? Are you one? Do you feel, are you on friendly terms with the Lord? Are you walking with Him? Are there things in your life that you know you've been uncomfortable about? And you say, well, I'm not anymore. Well, you know what that means. One time you were, and you kept overriding the checks of the Spirit till you persuaded yourself that it's okay and you don't feel guilty anymore. Go back to where you felt uncomfortable. Go back to where you felt uncomfortable and start doing business with God from that point. You know what? I would rather lose my eye in this life than make heaven. I'd rather go through life maimed, denying myself of some of the things that the world has to offer to make heaven, than to go through life whole and miss heaven. Folks, let's do whatever it takes to maintain our fellowship with God. Like I said, I knew we weren't going to get finished this morning, but the Lord wants your joy to be full, and we're going to find it when we have fellowship with God.